Thank you, Mark. Children, you are dismissed. And good morning, church. I'm just thankful for an opportunity to be able to share a message from God's word this morning. I would like to invite you guys to turn into your Bibles to our passage this morning. So that's John chapter 15, verse 18, and it's page 902 in the Pew Bible. And I will be reading it in just a little bit. But before I get into our passage this morning, I would like to give us just a reminder of where we're at in the book of John and what the setting of our passage is. So in the first half of the book of John, Jesus performs multiple works and makes claims about himself that point to him being the Messiah that was promised long ago, to being the Son of God, and how him and the Father are one. But then this led to some controversy to the Jewish leaders, which then led to them rejecting Jesus, hating Jesus, and plotting to kill him. And then now, into chapter 13 to 17, kind of the next bit of the book of John, Jesus is at the last night with his disciples at the Last Supper. And Jesus, this is a night where Jesus was just intentional and real personal with his disciples. He teaches them how they are to serve one another, that the promised Holy Spirit was going to come, how they are to love one another, and then how they are to abide in him, as we learned last week. And then now there is a shift, coming to our passage, there is a shift in what Jesus has been talking about. So prior, we're talking about how to love one another, how to abide in his love, and how to serve one another, and now this, it feels more of like a weight has shifted to now we're talking about the hostility of the world towards him and the hostility towards those who follow Jesus. And then this brings us, to today's passage. And as I read, I would like you guys to have this question in mind as you guys are reading. What does it look like to follow Jesus? So starting at John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. This is God's word. Now I'm just going to spend some time in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for just the gift that it is that we can gather together as a church, that we can have fellowship with one another. And Father, I just thank you for your love towards us, and I thank you for your faithfulness each day. Father, I thank you that you are a God who sees, and that you see what we have gone through this week. You know what's on our hearts. You know what burdens us. You know our thoughts. You know our anxiety. You know what we are concerned with. But Father, I thank you, Lord, for that you are a God who sees and you are a God who knows. And in that, Lord, you do not leave us isolated or left alone. Because in your precious word, Lord, that you have given us promises, Lord, of what your Son has done for us and how the Holy Spirit is with us and how you're everywhere present and you're with us every day, every second, and every hour of every day. And Father, as we just go through this passage, I just pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be discouraged, Lord, when we talk about the hatred of this world towards you and your followers, but rather, Lord, we would just not fail to see the comfort and the hope that Jesus is saying in his words here about how that he is with us and what he is has done for us, and how, Lord, that Him and the Father have sent the Holy Spirit to just indwell into our hearts, and that we are not isolated or left alone. And Father, that You will help us to endure this life in this world, Lord, because our home is not in this world, but our home is with You in eternity. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that just as I speak, if there's anything that's said that's not from You, that it would be thrown to the wayside, and that, Lord, that You would open our hearts to what You would have to teach us this morning. We pray these things in Your name. Amen. So throughout history, and still in the world today, who you follow can say a lot about who you are. It can reveal where your passions are, your interests, your likes or your dislikes. And on a deeper level, it can reveal what you identify with, who you support, and a message that you are willing to defend or stand by. So, who do you follow? Maybe you're into hockey, and at one point in your life, you decided that the Edmonton Oilers were going to be the team that you were going to follow, and that you knew that you may receive criticism, mockery, and maybe even be laughed at for choosing to follow them and be faithful to that team. But for some reason, you endure it all because you have the hope that they will win the Stanley Cup again one day. And I thought it wasn't even worth the time to mention Canucks fans because, well, let's face it, it hurts too much. But now let me ask you this. Does your life resemble someone who has wholeheartedly devoted their life to following Jesus no matter the cost? See, by following and abiding in Jesus, there is a cost that is far deeper than being harassed for following a hockey team. Because in Jesus' own words, we are told that the world will hate us for following Him. Yet although we are hated, we can endure it joyfully and be witnesses of the gospel because of the hope that we do have in Christ. So the main idea from this passage that I've drawn is that we should not be surprised when we face persecution for following Jesus. But remember that amid persecution, the Spirit will empower us to be witnesses of the gospel because of who we are in Christ. I'm just going to read that again. So we should not be surprised when we face persecution for following Jesus. But remember that amid persecution, the Spirit will empower us to be witnesses of the gospel because of who we are in Christ. And now I've broken up this passage into three main points. And those are, we are set apart, we are witnesses, and do not be surprised. And I think there's an outline in the bulletin as well, if you guys want to like write notes. So first part, we are set apart. That's 15. We're looking at verses 18 to 25. So what is the world that Jesus is referring to when He mentions the world to His disciples? Well, the world is anything that belongs, that is residing on this earth today, either it's people groups or other cultures or whatever it may be, that is contrary to God. Or another way to put it, that doesn't belong to God. They are living for either themselves, to their own sin, or they're living for the enemy, that is Satan. And see, people who belong to the world, they not only live to their sin, but they promote sinful motives and all that is contrary to God. And then Jesus also shares with His disciples that He was hated first. And since the beginning of His life, as a child, as a baby, King Herod sought to kill Him. And He lived a life of suffering, even to in His earthly ministry as an adult. The Jewish leaders rejected Him, they hated Him, and plotted to kill Him. So throughout Jesus' life, He was hated by the world. And now we are in the world, but not of the world. See, Jesus makes it clear to His disciples and those who belong to Him that we are set apart from the rest of the world. Because in His love and in His grace, He intentionally chose us out of this world, sanctifying us in where we become a new creation in Him. So when you put your faith in Jesus and you become saved, you become sanctified. And the word sanctified literally means to be set apart or to be made as holy. Our affections are then no longer towards the things of this world, but rather our heart's affections are turned to be towards Jesus. And even in the Old Testament, God set apart the people of Israel from the rest of the world. And if you've been part of the Bible reading program on the Bible Buffet, you may have read this in Leviticus. But in Leviticus 20, verse 26, it says this. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. And see, simply being separated from the world and belonging to Jesus, it stirs up or it arouses the world's hostility towards Christ's followers. See, earlier in this chapter, and we talked about last week, Jesus shares that when and if we abide in Jesus, we are like branches that are attached to the vine, that vine being Jesus and us being the branches. And that by abiding in Jesus, it represents our deep union that we have with him. And as we abide in Jesus, we are representing Jesus as a branch represents the vine. And see, the world doesn't know God. And even though the Jewish leaders claimed to be men of God, they did not know him or have a personal relationship with him. See, although they heard his words, they witnessed his works, they did not believe, but instead they rejected and they hated him. See, Jesus himself later on in John 16 says to these Jewish leaders that they did not know the Father and therefore they could not know the Son. So they did not have a personal relationship with him. Even though that they had the persona that they had a relationship with God and they loved God and that they were truly men of God, they did not know him or have a personal relationship with him. Now I want you guys to picture a man on a motorcycle riding down the highway. He gets caught in traffic and he's late for something, whatever it may be. And instead of waiting as he should, he decides that he is going to weave through traffic and then speed down the shoulder of the highway. I'm sure we've all seen this or know this guy at some point in our lives. And to his surprise, he gets caught by the police. And instead of acknowledging the truth that he was speeding, he is believing a lie that for some reason he is justified in his actions, even though he is presented with the truth. So in a similar way, the Jewish leaders were mad. They were angry with Jesus for calling them out in their unbelief and in their actions. Instead of repenting of their sin, they rejected him, and in their anger, they plotted to kill him. They had no excuse. And they're because Jesus revealed the truth to them plainly. And ironically, the scriptures that they read and lived by, they predicted their very own rejection of Jesus in Psalm 69, verse 4. So they were without excuse and they were without a cause. Which then brings us to our second point. We are witnesses, and we're looking at verses 26 to 27. So the Holy Spirit as a witness. Earlier in chapter 14, Jesus shares with his disciples that the Father will send the promised Holy Spirit, referring to him as the Helper, the Spirit of Truth. Again, here he reminds his disciples of the Holy Spirit that is going to come and going to dwell inside of them. And the Helper points to the helping, encouraging, and strengthening work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of Truth points to the illuminating and reminding work that the Holy Spirit does. So as the disciples in the church spoke the truth to the gospel, spoke the truth of the gospel, the Holy Spirit would not only be at work in the lives of the disciples and the church, but the Holy Spirit would also be at work in the hearts and minds of those who reside in this world, stirring in their hearts to persuade and to enable them to be able to receive the truth of the gospel and by grace choose to believe when they hear the truth. See, Jesus comforts his disciples by stating that the Holy Spirit will help them bear witness about Jesus. The Spirit will remind the disciples of the truth so that as they taught, preached, and wrote, they would spread the truth of the gospel. This calling to be witnesses was not just for the disciples, but it was also for the church as well. And see, in there is a command that we are not to be idle. We also have been commanded to bear witness about Jesus, meaning that we are to speak and share the truth of the gospel to those around us. And the Holy Spirit will help the church endure the persecution that we will face, which brings great hope that we will not be isolated or left alone. And in Romans 8:11, Paul states that if you truly belong to Christ, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is residing inside of you. Now I want to ask you guys this question. How much power did it take to raise Christ from the dead? How much power did it take to raise Christ from the dead? It would have took a lot of power to raise Christ from the dead, a power that we cannot even comprehend. And that, and there's this promise that Jesus says that that same power that raised Christ from the dead is residing in you and I who believe. It's like I said before, that when you put your faith in Jesus, you receive this promised Holy Spirit that Jesus is referring to. And there's such hope in this text in that, because we are not isolated and we are not left alone. And this truth should comfort our hearts that even though we will face persecution for his name's sake, he will help us persevere and empower us to boldly proclaim the gospel, and our witness of Jesus will not be impaired by the persecution of the world because of the help of the Holy Spirit. Because maybe there's a coworker that the Lord has placed on your heart to share the gospel to. Or maybe it's a friend. Or maybe it's even a family member who doesn't know the Lord. And this truth should comfort our hearts that in those moments when you feel that prompting from the Holy Spirit to share the gospel to those around you, we should be comforted that we are not left alone. We are not isolated, because the Lord is there with you, and he will help you and empower you and enable you to and give you the words to say, to be able to speak the truth of the gospel boldly. So we are not alone. And then this moves to our third point, do not be surprised. Verses 6, chapter 16, from 1 to 4a. See, Jesus, he also shares with his disciples that because of their devotion to following him and being a witness of the gospel, they will be cast out of the synagogue, and that there will be those who think they are serving God by doing so. Now, I'd just like to take some time to just go to Acts chapter 7. So if you would, in your Bibles, go over to Acts chapter 7. And there we're going to read about a devoted follower of Jesus, a man named Stephen, who was a faithful man of God and a devoted follower of Jesus. See, in his love for Jesus and obedience to him, he boldly proclaimed the gospel, no matter the cost, so that others would hear and come to believe in Jesus. In Acts 7, Stephen is confronted by the Jewish leaders and is presented an opportunity for him to share the gospel. In his speech, he calls them out for their sin in rejecting Jesus as their Savior and for putting him to death. In Acts 7, at verse 51, we'll start to read, so go to verse 51. This is what Stephen says to the Jewish leaders. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. And now at verse 54, the Jewish leaders, when they heard these things. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they, the Jewish leaders, cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and they rushed together at him. They then cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Then at chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, And Saul approved of his execution. See, Stephen, in his love for Jesus and his devotion to him, knowing what Jesus had saved him from, knowing that Jesus was with him and that he was willing to go before the Jewish leaders and boldly proclaim the gospel, no matter the cost, because he knew that Jesus was worthy to share the gospel to others. And what is the cost that I keep referring to? Well, the cost here for Stephen is that he was willing to die for Jesus. He was willing to give up his life because of the gospel, and he knew who he was in Christ and what Jesus had done for him. And then we were talking about Saul. See, there's a young man named Saul who approved of Stephen's stoning and persecuted the church of God, and through that, he was persecuting Jesus. See, he believed the lie that he was serving God. Because back in John chapter 16, Jesus had shared that they will be put out of the synagogues, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. And then whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. See, then later in the book of Acts, in a beautiful demonstration of the transforming power of the gospel, we read in Acts 9, 4 to 5, that Jesus encounters Saul and transforms his heart, choosing him out of this world . Then Saul becomes the Apostle Paul, who is recognized as a devoted follower of Jesus who followed him no matter the cost because of his deep love for Christ. Now here is a man who was once a tool used by the world to carry out its hatred, is now a man who is receiving the same hatred he used to give for following Jesus. See, in 2 Corinthians 11, 23-29, Paul speaks of what he endured and suffered for following Jesus. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison, often near death, beaten with rods and stoned. And then the list goes on of what Paul endured for Jesus' name. But see, Paul's attitude is expressed in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, he endured what he endured because he knew that Jesus was worth it all, that Jesus is far greater than anything that this world has to offer. And because he knew what Jesus did for him on the cross that brought about his salvation. So what does it mean and look like to follow Jesus? Now I'm going to move to our takeaways. Takeaway number one. Do not be surprised when you face persecution for following Jesus. Because in this passage and throughout Scripture, we are taught that we will face trouble in this world for following him. Yet remember that amid the persecution, the Spirit will empower us and help us to be witnesses of the gospel because of who we are in Christ. And then takeaway number two, remember this promise from Jesus in John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So are you willing to follow Jesus no matter the cost? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage. Father, even though that we didn't have the time to be able to go full into detail about verse by verse about what this passage entails, but it was more of an overview, I thank you for the truth of this passage. I thank you, Lord, for just your love and intentionality and just sending your own son for us to take our place on the cross. I thank you, Lord, that although we may be hated for following you, Lord, that there is great comfort, Lord, that this is not our home, but our home is with you in eternity, and how you have sent your Holy Spirit, Lord, to dwell inside of our hearts, and that through the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that he enables us to be able to boldly proclaim the gospel to those around us. And I pray, Lord, that each day, Lord, that throughout our lives that we would be praying and seeking you, Lord, about who, Lord, in our lives that you would like us to share the gospel to. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that by your grace that you would present those opportunities. And pray, Lord, that when if we struggle with feeling emotions of just fear or anxiety of what we may face for boldly proclaiming, I just pray, Lord, that we would take these things to you, Lord, as you are the God of comfort who comforts our hearts, Lord. And we can trust, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us in our weaknesses. But Father, I just pray that Lord, that our joy and our peace would truly be in you. And I thank you that you have set us apart from the rest of this world and that we do have an active and living relationship with you. And I do pray for those, Lord, even today who may not, that are here in this room that may not know you or have a relationship with you. I just pray, Lord, that they would consider Jesus and what he has done for them and this free gift of grace that you are offering and extending to them. And Father, I just, I thank you for your love. And I thank you, Lord, that how you are faithful each day and that you are everywhere present. And yeah, I thank you, Lord, for this morning and that we were able to gather together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.